Welcome to Engage Arizona, Public Policy for Daily Life. In this episode, we welcome Jarell Godsey, President of Heartbeat International. Heartbeat is a network of more than 2,700 pro-life pregnancy resource centers around the world. Heartbeat International makes every effort to ensure women have a real alternative to abortion. Jarell discusses this mission and the organization's unique work with Abortion Pill Rescue. Here now is Brianna Johnson.
Welcome to Engage Arizona. I'm Brianna Johnson with Center for Arizona Policy. Today we welcome Jarell Godsey, who serves as the president of Heartbeat International, the largest affiliation network of pregnancy help organizations in the world. Jarell leads a staff dedicated to equipping, empowering, and encouraging the thousands of leaders serving in Heartbeat-affiliated, life-affirming pregnancy help centers, maternity homes, and adoption services. Jarell oversees Heartbeat's core mission to reach and rescue lives at risk for abortion through far-reaching programs that include Option Line and the Abortion Pill Rescue Network. Jarell, it's a joy to have you on. Welcome.
Great to be with you, Brianna. Thanks for the opportunity.
So for those unfamiliar with your incredible work, tell us, what is Heartbeat International? What services do you all provide? How are you able to serve so many communities?
Well, it's actually a really exciting story. It's one of the most unknown stories about the pro-life movement. Heartbeat really started back in 1971, which is pre-Roe, which is interesting. It was really called into existence by the pregnancy help of the day. You know, lots of folks thought that they were going to change the laws, and they were headed to Washington and to the state capitals and to the legislative. But there were folks that were saying, you know what? We can't wait for those political decisions to take root. We have women who are in the midst of facing issues today that they don't know where to turn. How can we help them? And so that's where Heartbeat began. And that was literally, we were called into existence by those individuals of that day to say, we need some place that connects us all together. And so that's part of the adventure that we have. We provide all kinds of services for pregnancy help efforts. As you mentioned, we serve those that are pregnancy centers, medical, or simple resource centers. We also serve nonprofit adoption agencies and maternity homes. They're all part of the pregnancy help continuum that is Heartbeat International. So we connect with them not just across the U.S., but then internationally, which is fun as well. We also provide Option Line, which is a 24/7 call center. Been doing that since 2003. It's 1-800-712-HELP, a great number for a lot of different pro-life entities and churches and different resources to use to find a local pregnancy center that can help with whatever the need is that local center has, or a maternity home if that's an issue, or even connect with post-abortion healing or similar related type services.
That's incredible. And I just have to say, from a personal note, Heartbeat International is truly an incredible organization. If you are not connected with them, absolutely, you've got to get plugged in with their work and everything that they're doing, because it is overwhelmingly wonderful for women. So, Jarell, you personally, how did you get involved in the pro-life movement? Was there a defining moment or an event in your life that has shaped your pro-life views?
Well, actually, a couple things. This is not, you know, I've been now doing this in the full-time capacities for almost 30 years. It's not one of those things where it was on the job fair, you know, particularly for a guy to get involved in. But it's just the very nature of this work. I was in church. I was a relative new Christian, and a visiting pastor came and was talking about the issue of abortion. And I was sitting there pro-choice by default. In fact, I had participated in an abortion in my past just a few years before this moment. And the pastor said the most amazing thing that just struck me right to the heart. He started by saying, well, abortion is not a social issue. And I looked at, you know, of course, I was like, well, of course it is. And he was using a rhetorical device. And he went on to say, abortion is not a political issue. And man, if it's anything, it certainly is that. But then he said this. He said, abortion is a gospel issue. And when he said that, Brianna, I was penetrated to the heart. I can remember sitting in that chair. I can remember being impacted like to my core about my own complicitness in the issue, about my own, what I needed to do something. And actually, he was there to kind of stir us up. And we left as a church that day on a Sunday morning. We left our little church and went and picketed an abortion doctor that was in our community. And that was really what he had inspired. Little did he know, he inspired this, this particular individual that myself that became deeply involved went on to get involved a little bit in Operation Rescue back in the early days. And then I found pregnancy centers, and that was the most amazing thing, because suddenly there was this part of compassion that is pregnancy help that just really captured my heart. And that's where I've been at this since those early years. 1991 is when I got involved with pregnancy centers. And actually, a fun story, I was, as a board member, I had to go to the counselor training. So I drug my feet, didn't want to do that, didn't understand why as a board member I needed counseling training, but I did end up going finally. And in that room, there were 32 people, and there were two other guys who were married to someone else in the room. Well, I ended up sitting behind someone that a year later we went on our first date, and a year after that we were married. So it's a little known fact, you know, you can have some matchmaking going on in pregnancy center world. But so this is really something that then both my wife and I share our core value for pro-life certainly, but also pregnancy help efforts.
I always love asking people that question. The life issue itself is just such a personal, you know, it's a heart issue. It's a gospel issue. And when you get it, you just really get it and you're all in. And that's incredible. I get chills listening to people explain their own story with that. So back to your work with Heartbeat, what services and resources do you provide to pregnancy resource centers specifically?
Well, we have a constant, kind of array of training. There are certain things that are tools that we create that are written specifically for the pregnancy health community, pregnancy centers in particular. They're the bulk of our affiliation. And so we have various manuals, training that's online. We, of course, do an annual conference. We do something along with our annual conference, which moves around from year to year. We also do an in-person training called the Pregnancy Health Institute, which is a week-long training. So we kind of like our seminary is to a church, is how the Heartbeat International really is to the pregnancy health leadership. So we really are there to serve the people that are doing the work. They're the ones on the front line, so to speak, and we're trying to bring things to them that they can't necessarily do themselves. We advocate for them. We go to Washington. We do something called Babies Go to Congress in D.C. every January, which is a way to kind of represent or a poor word for it is lobbying. We're not really lobbying. We're really just doing grassroots things. We're telling their story, and we always involve them in the process when we're in those places. And so that's really been our joy, and our mission is to serve the pregnancy health community. So however they got here, whether they have a story like mine or they come from a very different path, however they got to get involved, we want to help them, strengthen them, support them, and certainly encourage them as they do the work.
I love how you say that you advocate in the ways that they can't do for themselves. What challenges do you see pregnancy resource centers facing on the daily, and how are you able to unite them as a community? That's something that I find so unique about Heartbeat, is how you've been able to take so many different organizations really around the world and unite them and bring them together. So what barriers and what challenges are you continuing to see them face every day?
So those are big questions. The thing that draws us together, and really that's if I were to kind of boil down our work, it really is to unify and advance the pregnancy health worldwide. So the good news is God's kind of already given us that spirit of unity, because we have a common mission. You know, we all have a sense of the unborn are being led to slaughter, you know, like it tells us in the scripture that we're to rescue them. So we all have that sense of rescuing them, and for the pregnancy health community, it kind of connects to the idea that we need to love them and serve them and help them make a better decision. So that is kind of the common thread. And the goal for us is really to, what do they say, major in the majors and minor in the minors, you know, let those things. And we try to do that from a very inclusive standpoint. Of course, we're Christians, so we believe that God has ordained the sanctity of life. And so we're partnering with him in all of this. But with that as kind of a common thread, we work to be inclusive. We work across the spectrum of certainly of believers, and welcome those that have a pro-life value to the conversation. Because if we change the laws, we know that the idea of pregnancy help is going to still be needed. It's going to still be necessary. There are going to still be women to help not to make that choice, because they will find a way to choose it, as we knew before the laws were enacted. So that this kind of missional heart is really what binds us. And then our goal at Heartbeat is just to find the platform and the relationships to say, how can we learn from each other? How can we get better by knowing each other? How can we be connected to each other so that we encourage one another, right? That's something, another thing that we all need to have happen. So that's our role at Heartbeat. That's a privilege, it's a joy, and an honor to connect with people all over the globe, which that's an adventure. As far as challenges, well, we have an active opposition, which is to say the least. Pregnancy centers, interestingly and unfortunately, have become quite the target in the past several years. We're kind of our stationary target. We are trying to advertise so that women can find us to get the help that they need. But that same exposure makes us targets for the other side for mischief. I can honestly say the last few years have been, we've seen an exceptional increase in the rise of picketing, of even vandalism, of certainly digital attacks. You know, we've had some crazy things going on. People, you know, spreading false reviews on websites and whatnot. All of that to diminish the work. So those are major obstacles of dealing with a very well-funded, a very ideologically motivated opposition. And so really it's kind of standing up in the face of that. Now, the cool thing is we know that with God on our side, we're in the majority. And frankly, we're in the majority anyway, because most everybody believes in the value of life. But it's really standing in the face of those things, learning how to work around them, and then also deal with big abortions changes. Now, chemical abortion has been something that that the abortion industry has been moving towards in rapid succession over the last several years. And they're doing that largely, you can almost see how they're doing that to get around the effectiveness of pregnancy health centers. We've been able to kind of see their numbers decline as far as overall abortions, but the number of chemical abortions have been increasing dramatically. And so that's a challenge we're having to overcome in various ways. We're going to have to learn some different methods and methodologies. You know, a pregnancy center is not a mission, it's a method. It's the idea of pregnancy health that's the mission. And so how do we do things? Maybe the idea of a center is not as is not going to be the most effective thing, single thing that we can do. So we're going to have to come up with new ways to address that. And like all of us during this COVID time, we're learning how to use technology better. We're learning how to engage and maintain relationships better. So I think we're learning some really good things. And, you know, whether we intended it for to be this or not, we're gaining some good skills in this process that we're going to need to deploy effectively going forward.
Absolutely. So you mentioned on the rise is chemical abortions. And one thing that I absolutely love about Heartbeat is your work with Abortion Pill Rescue. So for those who are listening and may not know what Abortion Pill Rescue or APR is, could you give a little background to it and then tell us how Heartbeat is using it to help women and combat the rise of the chemical abortions that are becoming available?
Great question. So abortion pill is basically, it's a term that's used, but it doesn't mean a single pill. It's something that's kind of commonly misunderstood. It means two pills. And so the first pill is RU46, and the second pill basically, so the first pill is designed to kind of starve the baby of progesterone, and then the second pill is designed to expel the baby. If you've seen the movie Unplanned, you've seen some of the realities of this, which are can be gruesome and can be very challenging, and are one of the issues that we're facing. But in between the two pills is an opportunity. What was learned? There was actually two doctors on the opposite sides of the country. More than 14 years ago, both of them were presented with women who had taken the first pill and said, I don't want to take the second. I don't know what to do. Can you help me? And so both of them independently came up with kind of the same answer, and it really is progesterone. So that has become known in our world as abortion pill reversal, that the fact that the first abortion pill, RU46, starves the baby of progesterone, the opportunity essentially is to flood the zone, so to speak, with progesterone, and that is considered the abortion pill reversal protocol. Well, one of those doctors went on to establish a little network, you know, there in California, and they grew it over time to a certain point. And eventually they said, wow, we need some help. And so they reached out to Heartbeat and said, you know, we need a call center. Well, we have that with OptionLine. And, you know, we need some other tools. And we're like, well, we can help. You know, we're a national, international organization, and this doctor, for all of his ability to reach far and wide, he's still trying to run a local practice and a small pregnancy center there. So we picked up the ball just a few years and began running with it and have been trying to grow it. We've actually now, I just saw the numbers yesterday, we've had abortion pill reversals in more than 30 countries even. And sometimes we know the doctors or the doctors that are willing to prescribe there. Sometimes we have to go find them because it's quite the adventure. But the cool thing for us is we've been able to, we have a team that if someone calls our option line, if someone calls the abortion pill rescue number or reversal number, they'll actually get someone at option line, which will confirm, are they in that protocol, the chemical abortion protocol? Did they take the first pill? If they did, and they're looking for that last chance to choose life, then they get handed over to one of our nurses who's on our healthcare team. And then she gets some good information, gets her connected to the doctor that can prescribe that abortion pill reversal progesterone protocol. And then we need to get her to take that as soon as possible because timing is of the essence. We've got to make things happen inside of 72 hours. That's the most effective time. The closer it can happen to that original pill, the better. And so we're able to see women change their mind. In fact, I have a story for you, Brianna. I just learned this just a couple of Fridays ago. We had a woman who had driven 3 hours to an abortionist in Little Rock, Arkansas. And so she drove there, she initiated her chemical abortion, and then, so she took the pill, was given the first pill, took it there in the office, and then began her 3-hour drive back. Well, not too long into this drive, she was overwhelmed with the fact that this was the wrong decision. So she manages to find us. You know, she's being driven, so she manages to find us on her phone, and she calls us. And what we were able to do is, before she even made the drive all the way back, we were able to find a prescriber that was in her path who agreed to meet her in off hours. This was on the weekends. Agreed to come in, did an ultrasound. Baby was still okay. Got her into the protocol, and then it basically got her the progesterone. And then 3 days later, came back to do another scan. Baby is well, all is good. So we're very excited for those kind of things. And we've seen stories like that in varying ways over the last several years. And so the cool thing for us is after many years of the network growing, we were able to finally see and celebrate the 1,000th baby saved from abortion pill reversal on at the end of this last year in 2019. And we're on track now to see 1,000 babies saved in 1 year. So the growth is critical for us. We're trying to grow it more because the important is that the big abortion is growing chemical abortion as a part of their methodology. And so we believe that there are more and more of women who are taking that first pill and instantly regretting it. So we need to do more to connect with them to let them know that there is a last chance to choose life.
Wow, that's incredible that we have the thousand lives saved. That's such a beautiful thing. And hopefully, like you said, another 1,000 in this coming year. What does the abortion industry have to say about abortion pill rescue? And have you seen a lot of pushback from them? I mean, here we have these stories that you have just expressed, and I know from my end, I know personal stories of the thousands that are saved from this. So what is the response from the abortion industry?
So the first response, and kind of depends on how they encounter the question, is they ignore it. We have many stories of that we hear through the Abortion Pill Rescue Network where, you know, that same woman might have said, I regret this, and calls the abortionist back and says, I regret what I did. Can you help me? So the first thing that happens is they say, no, you have to go through with this. So they deny and dismiss the potential that abortion can be reversed at all. That's the unfortunate thing. But on a larger scale, they also attack the idea in their media through their various publications. Even they had recently had an abortion doctor that was trying to do a study to disprove the abortion pill reversal process. And that was what the headlines that they were able to get out. There were several women in this very small study who were experiencing heavy bleeding. So they actually ceased that study for safety reasons. We understand, and we certainly agree that that's a good reason to stop a study. But the headlines from the complicit media with the big abortion was essentially that It was the reversal process that was creating the issue. But if you actually look at the details, and we had several of our docs look this over, and to a person, it's like, how, this can't be. This actually, the bleeding actually gets attributed to more towards the abortion pill itself, not the reversal process. And that, and that even buried inside of the limited data that the, that abortion doctor researcher had, was proof that abortion pill reversal does work. And so it's interesting, even though that publicly they will deny, they'll call it junk science, and of course they have very little science or no science to prove that it's junk science. Meanwhile, we have, you know, several thousand babies now and more on the way that that are living proof that, that it works.
So the abortion industry very clearly claims to advocate for women and to be there for women, that abortion is healthcare. When a woman is experiencing that regret after taking that first pill, why do you think that they don't want women to know about abortion pill rescue?
That's a great question. I wish I really understood. Unfortunately, it seems to come down to kind of the meta narrative that they have on abortion, that abortion is good, there's no problems. They kind of want to dismiss any of the negative effects, although those are well documented, even in some of their own literature. So they kind of have to fight against anything that breaks down the narrative that abortion isn't the right answer for women facing unplanned pregnancy. You know, apparently in their world, they would have every unplanned pregnancy end in abortion. And so they have to push back. I can give you an example. Basically, big abortion enlisted the help of the American Medical Association. Now, you know, we normally think of some of these national entities as being, advocates for their community. You know, in this case, the American Medical Association, the doctors. But the AMA jumped into actually sued the state of North Dakota, and one of the targets that they went after in their lawsuit is to have North Dakota not enforce a new informed consent law about abortion pill reversal. Now, if you're really about choice, wouldn't you want to make sure that she knows that she has these choices? And that's what the informed consent was about, was to ask the abortionist, or require that the abortionist simply mention and indicate that abortion pill reversal was available, not press it, not require that they actually prescribe it. You know, that those would also make sense to do as well, but just inform her so that she knows that that's a possibility, that if she, like the story I gave and like the stories we hear all the time, if she then regrets, she knows that she has that path. It's also been interesting. We've had other states kind of battle against even educating the healthcare people. We train nurses and others on abortion pill reversal, and we've had some states kind of push back against that. You ought not train these nurses. Well, why not? They're encountering people who are in these situations. Why would you want a nurse not to be knowledgeable about such things? That's where it's hard. That's where you begin to say, this has to be ideological. It's certainly not logical to do that. Logic would say you trust her, you give her the information for her to make the best decision.
Absolutely. So here we have challenges that the pregnancy resource centers are facing from the abortion industry, and then the complete denial of abortion pill rescue from the abortion industry. And it just seems like there's countless attacks from pro-abortion activists and the abortion business in general on the pro-life community, the movement, your organization. So how do you and your staff stay motivated? How do you guys keep going?
That's a great question. Well, part of it is we just celebrate the successes that we have. You know, I'm grateful for our friends who fight on the legislative front and the political front. Those are so important. But one of the values that we have in the pregnancy health world is that our successes can't be undone by a pen, right? It takes a pen to sign a law, and we've seen too many times, like we've seen this with the administrations. You know, one administration comes in and says, yes, I'm supporting the Hyde Amendment, I'm for the Mexico City policy, both of which help restrict abortion funding. But then the next administration comes in with a different pen, undoes that same thing. And so the cool thing about the pregnancy health movement is our successes walk around today. That when we succeed, a baby's born, a family is saved, a mom is loved and cared for. It's not just babies, it's not just lives, but it's also lifetimes and its lineage. I marvel at the opportunities now, because when you think about a movement that is 50 years old Heartbeat's about to be 50, is that we have now not just one generation, not just two generations, but we are likely already in our third generation that are possible only because of the activities and the outreach that was happening 50 years ago, 40 years ago. You know, those moms then had their babies, those babies have now had babies, and we could be very soon on the reality of those babies having more. So it's all about being mindful of our successes when we succeed. There's pain when we don't, but there is great joy when we do.
So one of your core values is to provide accurate information to women. Do you find it difficult to compete and sift through the noise of the media, social outlets, bloggers, the abortion industry, etc., to really be getting that clear, accurate information to women?
So absolutely. Because in this case, accurate information is really the value that is really what she needs. She needs the clearest information. And APR is the good example, abortion pill reversal, that's accurate information, and yet they have to attack it. And so we really want her to make an informed decision, and it's odd that they have to fight against things like legislation that keeps her from knowing information. And so we have to kind of stand up against those things. And sometimes if they can't attack the message, then what they start to do is attack the messenger. And this is where the pro-life community at large, and certainly the pregnancy health community, gets tagged with things like, well, you only care about fetuses or babies, which is totally missing the point. We certainly care about fetuses and babies, but we don't only care about them. That's why we spend a great deal, particularly in the pregnancy health movement, we spend a great deal of time and energy and effort leveraging the support of local communities to help women through these things. You know, to help them get ultrasounds, to help them get access to the kind of care that they need for their pregnancy, to help connect them to vital government resources that are available to many. A lot of people forget that there's many, many things that our government has done to help young moms to have the baby and to start the baby successfully. So the pregnancy centers in particular are walking around with that information, making that happen. And so to me, it's about being the message. And if they have nothing else to do but attack the messenger, then that just shows the weakness of their argument and how inaccurate their information is. But meanwhile, the truth is on our side, science is on our side, and we're happy to stand on those two things very strongly.
Amen. So if a woman calls one of your hotlines with an unplanned pregnancy, what's that experience like for her? What should she expect?
Well, the first thing that she's going to hear, particularly from Option Line and as well as the healthcare team, she's going to hear a friendly voice that's there to help her. We're not there to judge. We're just there to help her and connect her with that local community information and resource. Really, the biggest thing that we have to leverage in all of this conversation is relationship. It's like the old saying in real estate, where what are the big three things about real estate? Well, it's location, 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 right? Well, in our work, it's all about relationship, relationship, relationship. So it doesn't do us any good to judge her, to try to find fault. You know, we and that's one of the beautiful things about the pregnancy health movement is we welcome her into a conversation, complete stranger. We welcome her into that conversation and try to help her where she's at. So on Option Line, when she calls us, we're going to answer that initial question, maybe some others, but we're trying to connect her to that local community resource that can sit with her knee to knee, nose to nose if necessary, maybe not in this COVID environment, but at least be that very close relationship that can help her. So whether she prefers a voice on the phone from a long distance away, or she wants that connection that we know can get her the things that she needs, that's what our goal is to do. So we want to love her into that process, and that's the very, very heart of what we do. In fact, our core training is called the Love Approach, and really that's an acronym for some very simple thoughts. Love being L-O-V-E. So we L is listen and learn. O is open option. So we listen and learn where she is. We know who she is. What it is that's confronting her, then we want to begin to open her options. Sometimes, when we talk about choice so much, But if it's abortion she's after, she sees it as the only option. And so we want to take time to make sure that she realizes that she has other options. And then when we get to, we have listened and learned, we've opened the options. Then we want to get really to a vision and values. Like, what is her vision going for? What are her values? And how can we introduce values for life and a vision for something beyond the crisis? And then that leads us to the E step, which is extend and empower. We want to help her make that choice. The truth is, Brianna, you know, we've not saved one baby, right? Not Heartbeat, no pregnancy center has done this. No pro-life effort has really saved a single baby. It is the mom that has done that. It is the mom that feels empowered to make that choice for life that we know is already innate within her. It's in her biologically, it's in her spiritually, and it's certainly in her relationally. And she's the champion that makes that courageous step to choose life for her baby.
So I think one of the biggest barriers that we face as a culture is, how do we get to a point where abortion is not only unwanted, but unthinkable?
Yeah, that's a huge question. One of the things that we work at is that in order for it to be unwanted and unthinkable, it has to be unnecessary, right? So unnecessary means we are doing a great deal to help that woman, one, feel like she doesn't have to get into these situations in the ways that have happened in the past. You know, that the woman, that the individual feels empowered, that she's not making relationship decisions by default, certainly that she's not under threat or any difficulty. But we have to really make it unnecessary for her, that she realizes that there are good and viable options and that she doesn't have to suffer through the violence of abortion in order to accomplish those options. And until we can begin to make it unnecessary, it's going to be difficult to make it unthinkable, either today or unwanted. But it won't be unwanted until she realizes it's not necessary. So it's kind of like building the path towards those things. And as far as our cultural change, it's also making sure that all of us are walking around with the knowledge that there is help and there is hope. And that's the network of pregnancy health that's out there.
So for those of us that work in the pro-life movement, like you and I think it's easy to feel like that empowerment, that we're making a difference. But for somebody who might know someone who's contemplating abortion or is interested in getting involved, what do you suggest are some of the best ways to be ministering to that person as a friend? And how can the average person really be making a difference?
Okay, so the number one thing for that is to know the key resources. And here I would come back to optionline.org. That's a great tool, either as an individual to find, like, so if someone were talking to me, I learned about a neighbor that was looking for help, then Optionline would be a tool for me to find where close by is someone that can help. And so just going to Optionline, even using our locator, you can type in a zip code or a city and know who is close by that I can connect with. So that serves the individual. Or it creates a referral for that other person. It's like, here, let me help you. And so being that loving contact with a loving answer and a loving outreach is the key. So here, how can I help you? Here's some people I know that are good people. They will help you make a decision. They don't profit from your decision. Can I introduce you to them? Whether that's giving them Optionline or it's going on Optionline and finding that resource and handing that to them, either way works well. That's what we're here to do. That's the number one thing, is that every person that's pro-life should be walking around with that kind of resource information. And the cool thing about Optionline is we have a lot of connections to the other pro-life efforts. We serve a lot of the other pro-life efforts as well. So if we don't know the answer, we are delighted to connect them to the answer as well. So just walk around with some good information and be willing to love people into, you know, in their situation. That's the other key. Is have some simple information, 1-800-712-HELP or optionline.org, and then be prepared to love them in the process. You know, the reality, as we know, is pregnancy is not a sin. Too often, sometimes our folks tend to go right there. It's like somehow the pregnancy is a sin. Nope, it is not. That sin might be involved in what happened before that moment, but whatever the case, the God of the universe is involved in this pregnancy because this is his creation. He tells us so, right? And so we have to love that person that God has chosen for this moment and love them in, hopefully love them into a life-affirming decision.
Absolutely. It really is about the relationship and truly trying to love the woman walking into an abortion clinic or contemplating abortion just as much as her preborn child. You touched on a couple of things that I thought was really interesting. What do you wish that the pro-life community did a better job at doing? Because I do think that there's absolutely ways that we don't approach things in the best way, or we come off judgmental. What do you think that we could be improving on as a whole the most?
So there's a couple of different things that come to mind. One is the whole thing that we were just talking about is keeping in mind that abortion is a horrible evil that really is upon our land. It is the number one moral imperative of our time, right? We can't look back in history at slavery and see that as worse than abortion. We can't look back into the Nazi times and see that as worse than abortion, because this is our issue of our day, right? So I understand that's a grievous thing. It's a, you know, demonic thing. It's an ugly thing, a scar on our society. But even in that, we have to understand that we can walk in love towards those who are facing that decision. And yes, we can argue against the act, but we need to be careful not to argue against the actors, the ones that are feel no other choice. So let's continue to find ways to help them step back from a rush towards an abortion and rethink what's happened. Like, Frederica Matthews Green says it this way: no woman chooses an abortion like she would choose a Porsche or an ice cream, right? She chooses an abortion like an animal would gnaw off its own leg to get out of a trap. Like, there's a reality to that we need to be mindful of, that this is not something that's really being done in a cavalier way. It's being done out of lack of information, lack of care and concern. So the more our community is able to project that love and care and concern, the more effective we'll be. And then in the same vein, we need to be mindful that there are two sides of this issue that are being worked on. Too often, the pro-life movement is about the supply side, right? So the supply side of abortion, and that's not wrong. We want to restrict abortions occurring. We don't think it's the right choice for anybody. Certainly never for the baby. So I understand we need to work on the supply side of that, but then always be mindful that the reason that there is abortion is because people are demanding it. There is a demand for that. So, you know, we have these same issues with drugs and other things that we don't think should be part of our society. So there's always going to be that need for helping. Remember that people are seeking it, so they're creating that demand. So can we love them in such a way that they see that that's not the only thing that they should be demanding? They should be demanding better than abortion.
No, I think that that's a great point in trying to address the demand rather than the supply. You have no idea who's ever in a room and who has been affected by abortion, who maybe is a post-abortive woman, somebody who was in a relationship with somebody that had an abortion. I mean, you really never know somebody's backstory. So I love thinking about trying to address that side more with love and compassion and graciousness. So what advice can you offer to somebody who's looking to get involved in the pro-life movement and specifically your organization today?
Well, we're happy to have them come visit our website. Check us out. Heartbeatinternational.org is the quickest way to know us publicly. If they're in the pregnancy health movement, then heartbeatservices.org would be another way to do that. We are happy to serve and help them get connected. Of course, we welcome their support and donations, but we'd really rather them find the local pregnancy center, the local pregnancy health organization, maternity home, and jump in and be available to the local, because it's going to take both. It's going to be loving people in their own community, but also for those that have a national, international perspective. I mean, that's one of our great opportunities also, is working internationally. So we're happy to have people connect with Heartbeat who have a broader vision for impacting a number of countries, a number of areas, but at the same time, we really want to encourage people to get connected to that center that's right in their community. And if there isn't one, then there should be. And we'd be delighted to help them do that as well.
That's awesome. Jarell, as expected, it's been wonderful talking with you. I know I speak for the whole CAP team when I say we are so grateful for all your work and the dedication to everything that you guys are doing with Heartbeat. Any last minute closing thoughts?
Well, we love the CAP team. We're based here in Ohio, and we have one of the alumni, I believe, Aaron Baer, has been part of our team. And so we're grateful because the CAP team's not just working in Arizona, but helping all across the country. So we're blessed. This is going to be something that's going to take all of us, and it's going to be we're better together, whether we're doing this on the Hill or we're doing this in our homes, whether we're connecting with our neighbors or we're working through churches to get involved. It's going to take all of us. So we're grateful to be a part of it, and grateful to be connected in this adventure.
Well, thanks for joining us, Jarrell.
Thank you for listening to Engage Arizona, Public Policy for Daily Life. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe, rate, and give a review on any podcast platform you use. For more information, visit azpolicy.org.